One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
She was on top of the world with hit songs and record-breaking albums. But soon, she found herself embroiled in a battle for the very art that catapulted her to stardom. The fight prepared her for the next era, marked by legal claims, stalkers, deepfakes, foiled terror attempts, and more. Throughout it all, she seemed like she managed to shake it off. This week's episode is Taylor Swift, The Crimes, Claims, and Controversies, Part 2.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. I had to throw a little Swifty pun in the intro. We didn't have one last time. And anytime you ever read anything about Taylor Swift, especially if it's like from, you know, a non-pop culture thing, oftentimes it'll be like, Taylor Swift is shaking off some legal claims. Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah. They're always like,
they love to
pun.
They love to throw in the song names, as we all do. Well, yeah, there's a lot to get into.
So much.
In this one. We've recorded a Freaky Friday since the fires in California began, but I don't believe we've recorded a main feed episode. Heather did record a snippet to go in front of last week's episode, just to update everybody, because we do record in advance. And like we always say, what if during this week something insane happens and then we sound really daft because we don't mention it?
Yeah, kind of blasé. Like, the world's great. Happy Friday. And it's like, an area the size of the city of Paris has burned out of Southern California. And you're like, well, now I sound like a dummy. That's why we added that tag, like Christy said. But you're right. Yeah, this is our first time getting on the mic since then.
Yeah. So if you don't know, we are donating all of our merch profits and matching those from now until the foreseeable future. We did a live stream on Sunday night,
the 12th.
Oh, yeah. Simon's birthday.
Yeah.
Where people could donate to various links that we had up to. So thank you to everybody that tuned in for that. It's still available to watch on our YouTube if that tickles your fancy. And in the show notes, too, we will be sure to include all sorts of links to various organizations that are helping out the victims of these just unprecedented apocalyptic fires that have...
catastrophic.
Just have a chokehold on Southern California.
Oh, yeah. And all the various, we talk about the ripple effect of all this as well. Also, our Cameo profits are getting donated to the California Community Foundation. So if you order a Cameo, it's going straight there. So thanks to Cameo for letting us partner with an organization and divert those profits to where hopefully they can do some good, because It is rough out there. If you're local to Southern California, we've been sharing on our Instagram stories, just, you know, information as we find it. You know, N95s are available at the library, or these are places for clothing donations, or here's where you can look for your pet if your pet is lost, or take a pet that's injured that you find. So keep your eyes peeled on our stories for those. We just try to share, you know, whatever we can, as much as we can find. But it is a catastrophic situation on top of a, you know, our country's already, you know, we've just are still cleaning up the impact of Helene, Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. So on all sides, literally, quite literally all sides of the country, there's something going on. So wherever you can, you know, check a little help their way.
Absolutely. And if you are in any of the areas that have been affected, North Carolina, LA, other places that have seen just crazy natural disasters, we're so sorry. The footage that comes out of that, and another reason why TikTok is so valuable, is the firsthand accounts you see that otherwise you would not, from people that are literally fighting fires. It's, you know, it's coming in. Ground. Like, the news just doesn't get that kind of stuff. And it's been so impactful to share news, but also raise awareness and funds and help people. So there's a lot going on with this TikTok ban, as I'm sure everybody knows. And we're hoping that come January 19th, at the very least, a stay of the ban is issued. Best case, they're like, fuck it. We've done enough. You can have this one and we all just get it back.
You all have suffered enough, certainly. But yeah, I believe actually as this airs, it is possible that the Supreme Court will come out with a decision. I think the 15th is when the last day that they issue opinions in the case, and then the ban's supposed to go into effect on the 19th. So what will it be? Will it be an administrative stay, or the bill that was proposed in the Senate by, I believe, by Senator Markey, as well as he had a House representative also join him in a bill that would postpone the TikTok ban 270 days in order to, you know, assuage any government fears about the loss of data. I will say, if you listen to the oral arguments, the government outright said in their argument, we are concerned about this app because we cannot control the opinions of the users. This is not an app that we control. Therefore, we cannot control the users' opinions. And you're like, well, what does that say about Meta and Google, et cetera, et cetera? So we understand a ton of people.
And the government.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
By the way, we're admitting it. We're saying the quiet part out loud. We want to be able to control what everybody thinks, and we can't with this one.
Yeah, we want certain people to hate each other and certain people to be pissed at each other. We can do that with the apps that our American counterparts own. So it's a huge mess. But I, you know, we use TikTok for our small business. You all use TikTok for information gathering. I've seen people say, I've had a disease for X amount of years and my doctors couldn't ever figure it out. And I found other people on TikTok with my same strange symptoms. I went to my doctor. It saved me a trip to the Mayo Clinic because I was diagnosed with an extremely rare disease. Things like that, where communities can connect, I think, is where its value lies. What happens to our data? It doesn't matter. We listen to our NSA episode. Yeah. They've already got it. They've already got it. You know?
I love the trend that's like me and my Chinese spy meeting after the ban.
It's like
everyone's just like
holding
hands. I'm for one, pal, you know?
Yeah.
You can have it all because I really think the benefits of TikTok for employment, reach, honest, transparent journalism far outweighs any of the cons, which are really just the cons are the government and not being able to control you. So fuck them. And whatever you can do. I saw some creators say, if you're on TikTok and you see these big news organizations or some politician that's verified who's using TikTok as a platform to reach people, why don't you comment on that and be like, hey,
hello,
hello. You wouldn't have been able to post this here and reach X amount of people were it not for this. So why don't you take a look at how it's also helping you?
Truly. And, you know, I've always been a little bit of a rebel. So ni hao, wa shou, Heather, wa shou, mai gong ren. I'm learning Chinese. So suck it, America. You can't, I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, I do want to learn a different language. And I thought, well, this is a helpful language to know, especially if we all might end up on a different app that's not TikTok, and maybe I'll make a new friend. So I started a little audiobook on Spotify to learn that. So whatever the government tells you not to look at, a book, an app, whatever, you should look into it, as Stephen King would say. Get your ass to the library and find out what they don't want you to know.
Truly. As the king he is, what a great quote. Well, for now, let's get into the second part of this controversy.
Oh, gosh. The many.
Yes. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. In October of 2018, in advance of the midterms, Taylor Swift broke her political silence and endorsed progressive candidates in Tennessee, where she was registered to vote. In an Instagram post, she emphasized voting for candidates who
will protect and fight for human rights I believe we all deserve in this country. I believe in the fight for LGBTQ rights and that any form of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender is wrong. I believe the systemic racism we still see in this country towards people of color is terrifying, sickening, and prevalent.
Taylor urged her younger fans to register to vote in advance of state deadlines. In response, 65,000 voters ages 18 to 29 registered in the first 24 hours after her post. The number rose to 102,000 the next day. Nonprofit organizing group Vote.org told news outlets,
Taylor's post has helped bring out young voters. We're especially happy to see that because we know voting is habit forming.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's made a big push in this. Every time she posts about voting rights, there is a huge influx. In 2023, it was like 35,000 registered all in one day. So it's just these mass amounts that I think are pushing the needle when it is especially a company with a message like hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she came out this past election, endorsed Kamala. I was really hoping that was going to push it over the edge. I think, you know, it tipped it in that favor quite a bit, though. But it is always admirable when a very high profile person uses their platform to do better, you know, and spread awareness when it comes to political stuff, because it's really easy, too, for celebrities to not take a stance because, mm-hmm. you know, like in Miss Americana, when she's discussing it and her dad's like, do you want to alienate 50% of your fan base?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't care anymore. Like, I can't stand by while this goes on. But that is a big reason why a lot of people don't take a stance.
No, sir. And I think she got criticized for it of kind of, you know, oh, she was in an easy position. But, you know, when you grow up a white girl, the daughter of wealthy people, your worldview is shaped like that, you know, going to private schools and then not going to any school at all and pretty much being surrounded by your business adults, like your parents, your manager, whatever, in a cute little bubble until whenever. So, you know, I never want to say if someone used to be not as good as I want them to be, I fucking hate them. You know, right. I'm always like, what have you done for me lately? And, you know, I'm always want to welcome a new person to the fold if they're willing to speak up and take a stand, regardless of what they did before, especially if they go, I wanted to do this earlier and they held me back.
Right. Yeah. When Taylor signed a new deal with Republic Records and Universal Music Group, or UMG, in November of 2018, she insisted on an important deal point. In the future, whenever UMG sells any of its ownership in Spotify, part of the money from that sale must be shared with UMG's artists with no strings attached. She wrote in a statement at the time,
owning my masters was very important to me, but I've since realized that there are things that mean even more to me in the bigger picture. I see this as a sign that we're headed towards positive change for creators, a goal I'm never going to stop trying to help achieve in whatever ways I can. Because, see, Sony, UMG, and I think Warner Brothers and perhaps other record labels own shares of Spotify. And when Sony and Warner Brothers sold their shares of Spotify, for Sony, I believe, they just gave it to the artists outright. When Warner Brothers gave a remuneration to the artists upon their sale of shares in Spotify, Warner Brothers said, well, we'll count this against what you already owe us for all we've put in for you for making your stuff. So it'll just write down the books on what you owe us, but we're not going to give you any extra money. And she was like, no, if you're giving it, that's money we earned extra, like, and mm-hmm. that you earned extra by making that investment. So because of her, it's this most favored nation deal that now when UMG goes to sell or whatever, then everybody benefits. It's like that rising tide.
Mm-hmm. Good for her. Another admirable way to use your platform for good, not just helping yourself out, right. but helping others out. And also not being short-sighted and like, well, this is good for me right now, but mm-hmm. setting it up so like long-term, even after she's maybe gone from the music industry, people are still benefiting on the fight that she put up.
For sure. And her being young, I think, really helped understanding the value of streaming. It's like Trey Parker and Matt Stone when they made their South Park deal and said, well, we'll take less money on the TV rights if you give us all the streaming. And Comedy Central was like, who gives a shit about the internet? It's like she knew, like, the internet's valuable. No, we need a chunk of this.
Mm-hmm. In 2019, Taylor Swift was thrust into a high-stakes battle over the ownership of her master recordings, owned by the recording company Big Machine Records. On June 30th, Ithaca Holdings acquired Big Machine in a $330 million deal. Her music was valued at approximately $140 million at the time, comprising 41% of Big Machine's value. The acquisition gave Ithaca's owner, Scooter Braun, control over the masters for Taylor's first six albums, encompassing her entire career thus far. This was, as Taylor later put it, her
worst case scenario.
Man,
gut punch.
You have someone that's your biggest bully that you want nothing to do with. You don't want them to benefit in any way off something you do. And then this happens.
Yeah. And especially when, you know, you sign this deal at age 15 for a 13-year period and sort of not understanding how valuable the thing that you are going to make when you're like 26 is going to be. Like, you couldn't know that. And so Big Machine owns those original recordings that get licensed for, you know, being used in commercials, music, TV. But she owned the publishing rights. Yeah, radio, any of that. But she owned the publishing rights as the songwriter, which is valuable, but in the, once the albums are already made, obviously the masters are way more valuable at that time.
Taylor referred to Braun as a bully, posting to her Tumblr key incidents where Braun had bullied her publicly. She claimed Braun supported Kanye's actions relating to the song Famous, including the subsequent music video that featured a naked wax figure of Taylor. She called it
a revenge porn music video which strips my body naked.
She also highlighted a 2016 Instagram post by Justin Bieber, a Braun client, mocking her during the fallout, captioned,
"Taylor Swift, what up?"
alongside a FaceTime image of Braun and Kanye. Taylor said these actions by Braun were part of a, quote, calculated campaign to damage her reputation.
Yeah, I think she sort of saw him as being behind the scenes, if not a puppet master, then a willing participant and or encourager for Kanye's antics, which included that wax figure that was later put on display in a museum for everyone to see, her fake carved wax titties. So that sucks. Yeah. Imagine that's you. Someone makes a fake naked wax of you. And
he made a lot of them for that video. That video featured a lot of wax figures of naked celebrities. And when you're like, you might not be orchestrating it, but he's certainly stirring the pot, poking the bear, trying to get all this drama going. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it feels like middle school bullying to get a FaceTime sent to you with like a assy little caption like that. It's like, what are y'all even doing? You're three grown men and you're bullying this woman?
And I didn't get it. It's like 1.9 million likes on Bieber's post where he posts that pic. It's like a selfie of him with them in the corner. And I'm like, Justin Bieber, although we now know he's probably had a rough time in the music industry, but that does not mean we need to perpetuate the bullying or bad things that have happened to us upon others.
No, certainly not. Taylor further expressed her frustration and heartbreak writing on Tumblr.
"For years, I asked, pleaded for a chance to own my own work. Instead, I was given an opportunity to sign back up to Big Machine Records and, quote, earn one album back at a time for every new one I turned in."
By then, Taylor had already left Big Machine in favor of Republic Records, a label that allowed her to own her future work. She also accused Braun of
incessant manipulative bullying.
That is a tall order.
Yeah.
Well, you can make a whole new brand album and then we'll give you a one-for-one trade, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, you're not getting out of this so easily. And her attorney said, well, interesting that suddenly Scott Borchetta is willing to sell this catalog outright to someone else because he told her no. He said the only way that you're going to buy this is not cash, is a one-to-one. And she didn't want to be attached to them anymore.
But turns out he had a price.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you were going to sell them. You just didn't want to sell them to me. You wanted to keep me in a cage and make me sing for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he saw her as his cash cow, and he was trying to attach, well, you can have it, but you got to stick around with me. Fuck that.
We and all heard the numbers.
You.
She was 41% of this transaction. You know, she's 41% of the value of this company. It's like, yeah, he's trying to hang on to her. For her, she saw it more of both business as well as a respect deal. Like she thought, oh, we have loyalty to each other. And he's like, it's just business. That's the argument as you listen to our discussion of this. His discussion the whole time is, well, everything I did was perfectly legal. It's like, yes, it's legal. It's unethical and slimy.
Yeah.
So those two things can both be true. We still think you're a piece of shit. You just didn't break the law. No one's suing you. We just hate you.
I would also argue that it is personal and mm-hmm. it's not just business. If you're doing stuff like bullying and manipulating people and using your other clients to dig at her and choose sides, none of that's business. That's all personal.
Yeah, both of us. So Scooter Braun's real name is Scott, and Scott Borchetta's name is Scott, and Taylor's dad's name is Scott. There's too many Scotts. But between the Scooter and the Scott, not dad, they're both very, I did nothing wrong. And it's like, we see the receipts, man.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Scott Borchetta, founder of Big Machine Records, disputed Taylor's claims, writing in a statement,
"Taylor had every chance in the world to own not just her master recordings, but every video, photograph, everything associated with her career. She chose to leave."
At the time, fellow pop star Kelly Clarkson tweeted a suggestion for Taylor.
"Just a thought. You should go in and re-record all the songs that you don't own the masters on exactly how you did them, but put brand new art and some kind of incentive so fans will no longer buy the old versions. I'd buy all the new versions just to prove a point."
Taylor would be contractually free to pursue this plan starting the following year.
But yeah, him saying she chose to leave, that's crazy. She made an offer. I will buy this for money. He made a counteroffer, which is not an exception. So is in fact a declination. You're declining her offer and saying only if you do more work for me. And she's like, that's not the deal I want. He's like, well, she just walked away out of nothing. It's like, no, you were given certain deals to Scooter Braun and certain deals to her. And she wanted just the same ability to buy it that mm-hmm. the man was given.
Good for Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. Love her, fellow Texan, for coming up with this idea. I mean, I think that the idea was probably already there, but she's kind of credited with putting it out there first. I don't think Taylor's ever really come out and said, like, because of Kelly Clarkson, I did this.
She sends her flowers every time a re-release comes out and, like, a thank you note for, like, the encouragement and for the idea. Prince mm-hmm. did it originally back, I think, in the 90s, early 2000s, kind of like when he changed his name to the symbol. He was in a dispute with his record label. I think one other artist before that as well. So it's just a rare thing because it's a hard thing to do and you don't mm-hmm. want to have to do it.
5 months after the sale in November of 2019, the dispute escalated when Taylor revealed that Braun and Borchetta were blocking her from performing her older songs at the American Music Awards and from including her music in an upcoming Netflix documentary. She shared with fans on Tumblr that
they claim that would be recording my music before I'm allowed to next year.
Borchetta and Braun denied the claims and alleged that Taylor owed Big Machine money. In response, Taylor's representative, Tree Payne, published correspondence with Big Machine, proving that the new owner was indeed blocking the superstar from performing her music at the ceremony. Payne also noted that an independent auditor determined that Big Machine actually owed Taylor nearly $8 million in unpaid royalties. Just days later, TMZ confirmed that Big Machine agreed to allow Taylor to sing her songs on the broadcast. She performed an 11.5-minute medley of hits while wearing a white button-down shirt printed with the names of all the albums at issue.
I think they wanted her to go quietly and shut up. And when that she didn't. They tried to pull stuff like this and say, you can't perform your music there. We won't be issuing licenses for you to use the backing tracks. So then she goes public and goes, they won't let me perform my music. So then millions of fans are like, what the fuck, guys? They're like, well, we said any artist can have any license to the music. So there, we wrote this email. And after the fact, it's like, yeah, after the fact, you were being a dick on the front end. It's just, they keep saying, we think it should be private behind closed doors. Why? So you can be exploited.
Sounds like the government and TikTok, if you ask me. Miss Americana, a Netflix documentary directed by Lana Wilson and released on January 31st, 2020, offered an intimate look into Taylor Swift's personal and professional life during a transformative period. The film explored her struggles with body image, the pressures of fame, and her decision to become politically vocal, notably speaking out during the 2018 midterm elections, despite fears of backlash. The key moment showed Swift declaring,
I don't care if they write that I'm ruining my career,
as she opposed Senator Marsha Blackburn. The documentary also addressed her public dispute over her music catalog, showcasing her fight for creative independence and her shift from a, quote, good girl persona to embracing authenticity. Featuring behind-the-scenes glimpses of her songwriting process for albums like Lover, Miss Americana highlighted Swift's resilience and determination to reclaim her narrative. Critics praised the film for its raw honesty, solidifying Taylor's role as an artist unafraid to stand for her beliefs.
And a dope song called Only the Young and the end credits.
You got to stand for something or you fall for anything. And also, as a good friend of mine once said early on in this podcasting journey, your word is everything. Mm-hmm. Your endorsement. So if you can't stand behind something, mm-hmm. don't promote it. Don't endorse it. And she really does stand up for her beliefs.
Truly. Yeah. And that scene is really powerful. It's like her own father kind of going like,
yeah,
you know, hey, we want to. And his kind of concern was about her safety, because we didn't really cover it because it was kind of a blip on the radar. But around 2016, before the Trump election, there was some like online spaces going, well, she's being silent about politics because she's really super, super like white supremacist. Like she's very, right wing. And so I think part of that was like, people are labeling me regardless. So I need to come out and say, I actually am this.
True. Yeah. People are going to make up their own opinion of you. So you might as well get the truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the high of her documentary praise, Taylor was awarded another win after the full, unedited recording of the phone call between her and Kanye was leaked anonymously online on March 21st, 2020. The recording revealed critical details that had been omitted in the earlier edited clips. The full recording showed Kanye telling Taylor about the line, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex," and seeking her reaction. However, he never mentioned the derogatory phrase, "I made that bitch famous." Taylor was surprised by the idea of the, quote, "might still have sex" lyric, but said she would think about it, even jokingly referring to it as
tongue-in-cheek.
She expressed discomfort with the notion, but appreciated Kanye giving her a heads up, which is way more than I would have done after his bullshit at the VMAs.
Right? You can kind of hear the tone in her voice on the full call that she's like, ha ha ha. Okay, well, I need to think about it. Oh, well, that could be funny. Like, you could kind of hear she's trying to, it's very much an appeaser, people pleaser voice, which is funny to hear from one of, like, arguably the most powerful pop stars in the world. But I guess we all have our anxieties.
It's a weird thing to even ask someone. Mm-hmm. Like, the line is, you know, raunchy and implies something that she wouldn't want. So, to call her in the first place is so strange. But then, I mean, in hindsight, you're like, oh, well, he probably called her so he could video it and then falsely put out some of it so it made it look like she was okay with it.
Yeah.
The leaked call proved that Taylor never approved the full lyric as it appeared in the song because she had not been informed of its entirety. This contradicted Kanye and then-wife Kim Kardashian's claims. Taylor had approved all the lines, including the derogatory one. After the full recording was leaked, many fans and commentators revisited the situation, concluding that Taylor had been the truthful one in her earlier statements. The leak led to widespread criticism of Kanye and Kim for misrepresenting the situation and manipulating public opinion against her. Taylor responded subtly on her Instagram stories, stating that she felt vindicated and encouraged fans to focus on larger issues, particularly the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. She wrote,
Instead of answering those who are asking how I feel about the video footage that leaked, proving that I was telling the truth the whole time about that call, you know, the one that was illegally recorded, somebody edited and manipulated in order to frame me and put me, my family, and fans through hell for 4 years, swipe up to see what really matters.
When fans swiped up, they were greeted with a message to join her in donating to the World Health Organization and Feeding America.
And she's right, it was illegally recorded. The call was in California, which is a two-party consent state, and the full footage does not say, hey, Taylor, just so you know, we're going to film this call for the Kardashians. Right. So Kanye and Kim illegally recording that call without her consent, that is a violation of California law. Kim abetting filming it and then also publishing it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, several violations of the law occurred. Of course, I think Taylor was kind of like water under the bridge. I'm not going to pursue this. Although I believe it was reported in People, she told him, you need to delete every recording you have of that. And if this ever comes up again, essentially, we will go after you for, you know, even a civil suit of like publishing private conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On July 23rd, 2020, Taylor stunned everyone when she posted on her social media accounts, revealing the existence of her new album, Folklore, and its imminent midnight release. The announcement came as a complete surprise, as there had been no prior promotion, teasing, or single releases, a sharp contrast to the traditional rollout of her previous albums. In her statement, Taylor explained the spontaneous nature of the project, saying,
"In isolation, my imagination has run wild, and this album is the result, a collection of songs and stories that flowed like a stream of consciousness."
Created during the COVID-19 lockdown, Taylor collaborated remotely with producers Aaron Dessner of The National, Jack Antonoff, and Justin Vernon, Bon Iver. The album embraced a narrative-driven approach, with Swift crafting fictional characters and interwoven stories, such as the teenage love triangle depicted in songs like Cardigan, August, and Betty.
So many hits.
Some of my faves. This is such a great album, and I love every single producer she worked with here. Mm-hmm. Oh, this one and Evermore, they've got some of my all-time faves on them.
It's a very easy thing for me to know whether somebody knows what they're talking about with regards to Taylor Swift. If they go, she just is like a little bubblegum pop princess. I'm like, that just doesn't comport with
the
data.
Have you listened to Exile?
Yeah, I'm just like, you sound like a dumbass. Like, it's one thing to be like, I'm not really familiar with her whole catalog. I only know the hits. That's one thing. But to be like, she only has hit songs that are pop songs. It's like, I would challenge you to listen to Folklore.
Yeah, Folklore and Evermore were both different in that they were kind of more earthy, muted, ethereal, but very like deep and haunting at times too.
Which lyrically.
Aaron Dessner of The National is incredible. And before I even knew she corroborated with him, I was like, this sounds like The National.
You're like, ding, ding, hell yeah.
Despite its unconventional release, Folklore broke multiple records. It became the biggest debut for a female artist on Spotify, earning 80.6 million streams on its first day. Additionally, the album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200, making Taylor the first artist to have seven albums sell over 500,000 copies in a single week. At the 2021 Grammy Awards, Folklore won critical acclaim, earning Album of the Year and solidifying Taylor as the first female artist to win the award three times.
It's interesting, too. She won for Fearless and then 1989 and this. And I think all three of those do sound like different records. You know, Fearless is a little bit more country pop. 1989 is just pop. And this is vastly different.
Which is a product of we're all alone in lockdown. And this is what comes of it. And in the tour, she speaks about it when she's in these eras playing, especially like on the piano and stuff, they didn't know if they were ever going to get to sing these songs in a stadium and, you know, how much it meant that she could then. But yeah, to make a whole album and you're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to sing this in a stadium or even publicly, you know, to a crowd. In November of 2020, the battle over Taylor's masters reignited. Scooter Braun sold the rights to Taylor's first six albums to Shamrock Holdings for a reported $300 million, plus trailing royalties to Braun. Taylor revealed that she had tried to negotiate with Braun to regain ownership of her masters, but Braun required her to sign what she called a, quote, ironclad NDA, that would force her to only speak positively about him as a condition to even enter negotiations. She refused.
An NDA is also what kept Scott Swift out of the initial discussions of Scooter Braun's purchase. I think a lot of people went, oh, Scott Borchetta sold all of this. Her dad was a minority, you know, 3-4% shareholder in Big Machine. Why didn't Scott Swift say something to Taylor? And it has come out, and Scott Borchetta admitted he was under an NDA to enter into the negotiations with Scooter Braun. And I used to draft these NDAs when I was a deal lawyer. And you do say only those who need to know in the organization can know about this deal or whatever. So it sounds like Scooter Braun loves an NDA. I mean, their NDAs are industry standard, but to say like, we can negotiate, but also you have to stop saying mean things about me. I never drafted an NDA like that, but I'll work for Scooter Braun.
No, luckily none of us do. Shamrock offered to partner with Taylor and asked for her cooperation as the new owner of her music. When she learned that Braun would continue profiting from her work, even after the sale, she declined Shamrock's offer and proceeded with her re-recording plans. At the time of purchase, Shamrock issued a statement.
We made this investment because we believe in the immense value and opportunity that comes with Taylor's work. We fully respect and support her decision, and while we hope to formally partner, we also knew her re-recording venture was a possible outcome that we considered. Wah, wah. But it's the Disney family's investment fund, so I feel like they'll be okay. But
yeah,
it is a good kick in the gut for someone who's essentially, you feel like they've stolen your work, to just stab a knife into that balloon and deflate it and go, yeah, buy it now.
Straight up refuse to play by their rules. Clapping back even further, Taylor dropped another surprise album a few weeks later. Announced a day before its release, on December 11th, 2020, Evermore was described as a, quote, sister album to Folklore, continuing its narrative-driven and introspective approach. In her announcement, Swift explained that she and her collaborators, Aaron Dessner, Jack Antonoff, and Justin Vernon, couldn't stop writing songs after Folklore and decided to create a companion project. She described Evermore as venturing deeper into storytelling with themes of love, loss, and nostalgia. Evermore debuted at number one on the Billboard 200, making Taylor the first artist to release two chart-topping albums in the same year since 2017. Fans and critics praised the album for its rich storytelling and continued artistic experimentation, solidifying it as a fitting companion to Folklore and a milestone in Swift's career.
If you need like a album to just play through while you walk through like a forest by yourself, this is, can attest, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's great. Both of them are. And they do very much seem like sister albums. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit different, but you can see how the vibes are the same. And sometimes you're like, well, we can't have 40 tracks on an album, so we're going to break it up into two.
And usually, unless you're her, and then she's like, watch me, it's a double album.
On December 29th, shortly after Evermore dropped, a fantasy-themed amusement park in Utah called Evermore Park issued a cease and desist letter, alleging that the album title constituted trademark infringement. Evermore Park demanded damages and sought to prevent Taylor from further use of the term in connection with her album or related merchandise. On February 2nd, 2021, the theme park formally filed suit, seeking injunctive relief to stop Taylor from using the Evermore name, along with statutory damages of up to $2 million per use of the mark.
They were like, it's causing consumer confusion. And I was like, we've been there. We were not confused.
No, I was. The only thing I was confused about is where do I go next to get my jewels on my scavenger hunt around the place?
Where else can we get some more of these elf ears that attach to your regular ears?
Which it's a cool place. Very pretty. If I lived in this area, it's a place I would go to all the time. Did I ever once confuse the two? No. I would also argue it's not going to do anything but help you.
Yeah. It's like one of those where you're like, shut up and enjoy the ride. Literally, like you're getting a lot of good press from that. You're not being harmed by this.
No. People are Googling Evermore.
They're like,
and then like your park pops up. Oh, I didn't know about that. Let's go visit it. Swift's legal team responded with a countersuit alleging copyright infringement against Evermore Park, citing unauthorized public performances of Swift's songs played at park events. According to the complaint, Evermore Park had failed to obtain proper licensing from performing rights organizations. Taylor's team sought both injunctive relief and statutory damages.
So lesson, she says, I keep my side of the street clean. They didn't. They were violating her rights. So she was like, I wasn't going to say nothing, but y'all want to fuck with me? All right, stop playing my music without a license.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why did you kick this up? This,
yeah, don't
when
it.
You could have just kept doing what you were doing and probably reaped the benefits even more.
Right.
By March of 2021, both parties agreed to voluntarily dismiss the respective lawsuits with prejudice, meaning neither could refile the claims. No monetary settlement was exchanged as part of this agreement. Both sides issued statements indicating a mutual desire to move forward without further litigation. As part of her effort to re-record her first six studio albums, Taylor released Fearless, Taylor's version, in April of 2021, and Red, Taylor's version, in November of 2021. By re-recording these albums, Taylor aimed to reclaim ownership of her music and allow fans to support the new versions rather than the originals. And I would argue a lot of them are even better because her voice is way more mature, and there's something to be said about listening to like Fearless when she first recorded it, but I haven't heard that version in a really long time because I'm listening to the Taylor's versions now.
Yeah, and also like I think petty people are attracted to petty people, and if it's like, oh, this guy thinks he's going to like force you to pay him for the rest of your life. Watch this. I'll specifically not listen to that version because fuck you. That's why. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, none of us want to be bullied. Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
All 19 original tracks from the Fearless Platinum Edition were included, along with six previously unreleased songs, quote, from the vault, showcasing music written during the original Fearless era but not included in the original release. Vault tracks, as they would come to be known, became a staple on Taylor's re-released albums and another reason for fans to purchase Taylor's version. The release was a commercial success, debuting at number one on the Billboard 200, making Taylor the first artist to have a re-recorded album achieve such a feat.
She was setting records even without
left
a proper...
Right.
Yeah, without a proper new album in 2021, she sent three separate projects to the top spot of the Billboard 200 during that calendar year, and she was the first female artist to accomplish that feat in like the 65-year history of Billboard. And it's re-recorded stuff, but to be fair, the re-record vault tracks, so fire.
Yeah, yeah. The vault tracks were a whole other reason for people to mm-hmm. buy these. I mean, you're getting like 4 to 6 mm-hmm. new songs an album.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to do it. Red, Taylor's version, included 30 tracks, expanding the original album with 9 From the Vault songs, and a 10-minute version of fan favorite All Too Well, which became a cultural phenomenon and was accompanied by a short film written and directed by Taylor.
And her performing that on SNL with the short in the background was a pretty iconic moment.
Oh, All Too Well. Mm-hmm. Ella asked me the other night, what's your favorite song of all time? And I said... Oh, it might depend on my mood, but then I said, All Too Well is probably, I could say that with confidence. Mm-hmm. So like that probably is at least in the top 3, if not 1.
Yeah, sure.
Like Fearless, Taylor's version, Red Taylor's version debuted at number one and broke Spotify streaming records for a female artist. Taylor's decision to re-record these albums was lauded as a groundbreaking assertion of artist rights, empowering both herself and other musicians to fight for ownership of their work.
A lot of folks in the industry were like, that's just how the music industry works. You don't own your masters. And she's like, I don't think it should be that way. And I think all of you should ask for deals like I have now. And now with UMG, she owns her masters. And I think more artists know to even ask for that, which you might not have known to ask for that before.
Just because something's always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's right or needs right? to continue being done that way.
They're like, we've always exploited you this way. Shut up about it. Yeah. It's like, no.
Well, nobody ever fought back until now. So right. Now things are going to be different. As further proof of her positive contribution to the entertainment industry, Taylor received an honorary Doctor of Fine Arts degree from New York University on May 18, 2022. She was honored during the university's commencement ceremony at Yankee Stadium, where she also delivered the commencement address to the graduating class of 2022. In her speech, Taylor shared life lessons, personal anecdotes, and words of encouragement, saying,
"Life can be heavy, especially if you try to carry it all at once. Part of growing up and moving into new chapters of your life is about catch and release. What I mean by that is knowing what things to keep and what things to let go of."
Good advice. Mm-hmm. Also pretty iconic to have Taylor Swift deliver your commencement speech.
Oh, man. That's like when the commencement announcement gets made. You're like, how many tickets can we get?
Right? Yeah. I didn't even go to my college graduation. If she had given the speech, I certainly would have. The honorary degree recognized her contributions to the music and entertainment industry, as well as her advocacy for artists' rights, education, and social justice causes. The moment marked another milestone in Taylor's multifaceted career, celebrated by fans and the academic community alike. In another surprise reveal, Taylor announced her 10th studio album, this time in an even more impressive manner. During her acceptance speech at the 2022 MTV Video Music Awards on August 28, 2022, after winning Video of the Year for All Too Well, the short film, Taylor told the audience and millions watching from home,
"I thought it might be a fun moment to tell you that my brand new album comes out October 21st.
She promised to share more details at midnight, leaving fans eagerly anticipating the reveal. Later that night, Taylor posted on social media, unveiling the album's title, Midnights, and its concept. She described it as
the stories of 13 sleepless nights scattered throughout my life,
and shared the album's cover art, which featured a retro minimalist design. She explained that Midnights would delve into themes of self-reflection, fear, love, and emotional turmoil experienced during late night hours.
That's the thing about these eras is they kind of all have a theme and a mm-hmm. feel to them. And yeah, Midnights has kind of a very after midnight, late, insomniac kind of feel.
Darker kind of, mm-hmm. I mean, I know the colors of it are like purple, but even without it's seeing
my Midnight's
that,
cardigan.
You kind of think of it as like, oh yeah, you got your cardigan on. I can remember driving home from, I think, doing a show or something and driving down my street and it was like cold and kind of icy. And Midnight Rain came on. It was mm-hmm. the first time I heard it. And I was like, God damn, this is like way different than what she's done. But it was mm-hmm. like haunting and sexy and like after dark. But mm-hmm. it just, every time I hear that song, it like takes me back to the first time I heard it. And it's mm-hmm. one of those songs that was a very memorable first listen.
Yeah, with that pitched down voice, it mm-hmm. really does. Like, you're like, oh, this is different. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. It does. The anti-hero just being like lyrically, I was like, this is brilliant. You're a brilliant genius.
A few weeks after the release of Midnights, Taylor made an announcement that would change the history of music and touring shows. On November 1st, 2022, she announced the Eras Tour, what she called
a journey through the musical eras of my career, past and present.
Because of the pandemic, Taylor hadn't been able to tour for 4 years. As a result, the Eras Tour became her first full tour since 2018 and her first opportunity to perform songs from her Lover, Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights albums live, making it highly anticipated by fans. Taylor expressed her own excitement, stating,
"I can't wait to see your gorgeous faces out there. It's been a long time coming."
Even she likes to make puns about her own music.
She gets it. But yeah, that's got to be hard if you're like, well, I would have done. She tried to plan Loverfest right after Lover came out in 2019. pandemic came in 2020. I had to cancel all those shows. So you're like, well, I had ideas for this tour. And then these two albums are completely different than Lover. And then this new one's completely different than all three. Like, what do I do? And it's like, how about like six different, how about 11 different shows in one?
Truly. When ticket pre-sale began, Ticketmaster systems were overwhelmed. The site was plagued by severe technical issues due to the overwhelming demand, resulting in crashes and prolonged wait times for users. Even with the issues, the Eras Tour sold over 2 million tickets on its first day of pre-sale alone, breaking the all-time record for the most concert tickets sold by an artist in a single day. Taylor made a public statement expressing her dismay at the mishandling of the situation. Ticketmaster's CEO told CNBC the ticketing giant had prepared for 1.5 million verified fans, but 14 million showed up, explaining,
"We could have filled 900 stadiums."
The general public sale was canceled due to insufficient remaining ticket inventory. And I lost my mind.
Yeah, this was a wild time. Everybody, the people I know who happened to get tickets on that day, you know, had registered in advance and done everything right. But then for every one of those people that did it right, there were 10 more that also did it right, that just by virtue of chance, because of Ticketmaster systems, and because the United States is under a monopoly with regard to Ticketmaster Live Nation because of this deal that was allowed to go through a few years ago. It's like, well, why did it all have to be on one website? It's like, because we have a fucking monopoly. Like, don't have that.
Tickets that later went for $5,000, people were getting for $200. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was as it should be. Concert tickets are way overpriced, and it's because all the bots buy them up and then sell them back for 100% markup of what they were.
Oh, yeah.
In December of 2022, the longstanding Shake It Off copyright infringement lawsuit filed by songwriters Sean Hall and Nathan Butler was dismissed. After 5 years of litigation, both parties agreed to a joint stipulation for dismissal, leading to the case's closure without a trial. The specific terms of the settlement were not disclosed.
They were not given writing credits on the song, which is what sometimes happens in situations like this, with Olivia Rodrigo having used sort of pieces of inspiration from Taylor songs. Taylor and Jack Antonoff are listed as writers, and Beyonce does that when she uses pieces. But I don't think at all Taylor Swift said, I didn't use this. This is a common parlance. Like in the appeal, she had shown a t-shirt she had worn at the Billboard Awards that was a unicorn that said, haters gonna hate, that she had gotten from Urban Outfitters. You know, she's like, this is part of the evidence. Like, this is just out in the world. And so the initial dismissal we talked about last time then went up on appeal. And at appeal, the appellate court said, this is a fact determination. The judge shouldn't have thrown it out on a motion to dismiss. I'm going to remand this back to go to trial. And when the opportunity comes to go to trial, when you see the plaintiffs go, we're not going to go to trial, let's just stipulate to dismiss. I'm like, I don't think your argument was as good as you thought it was when you first filed.
For sure. The Eras Tour began on March 17th, 2023, at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. In honor of Taylor and the highly anticipated tour, the city temporarily renamed itself Swift City. However, as the tour kicked off, the botched ticket sale fiasco continued to draw criticism from fans, consumer groups, and U.S. lawmakers, who accused Ticketmaster of monopolistic practices and inadequate service. The controversy reignited calls to visit the 2010 merger between Ticketmaster and Live Nation, with some labeling the combined entity a monopoly that stifles competition. Lawyer Swifties created Vigilante Legal LLC, a grassroots organization focused on delivering complaints to regulators and lawmakers, describing how fans were impacted by the botched ticket sale. Several fans also filed lawsuits against Ticketmaster, alleging violations including intentional deception, fraud, price fixing, and antitrust breaches. The U.S. Department of Justice also initiated an investigation into Live Nation Entertainment's practices.
Yeah, they one of the lawsuits said that she flagged that a bot had kept her out 41 different times. It said that the woman had charged because she was in the queue. Her card was like getting held for charges. Like, again, it's like Ticketmaster had all of this mess going on. So why should you be the only single ticketing source for everyone in the United States? And it's like this bad deal we made. So now the U.S. Department of Justice has filed suit against Ticketmaster, seeking the dissolution of that merger, alleging that it's an illegal monopoly and that it harms consumers. So it's there's a $5 billion lawsuit on simultaneously on behalf of just millions of ticket buyers that were affected, as well as trying to dissolve the merger. It's ongoing. I think with the new administration taking hold, don't know that they're really interested in breaking up monopolies. In fact, they kind of like them because that's what an oligopoly is. So we'll see if that litigation continues, because it is quite popular. Tons of states have also passed rules in response to this, including Texas, including Greg Abbott sometimes, broke clock. So it's one of those things where even if you don't go to the Eras Tour, what happens that it matters. And now you don't have to pay junk fees or whatever, depending for sure, on where you live.
The record-breaking tour had been underway for 8 months when tragedy struck. In November of 2023, during a performance in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, 23-year-old fan Ana Benavides died at the concert. Reports indicated that the extreme heat and overcrowded conditions contributed to Ana's collapse and subsequent death, raising concerns about safety measures at the venue.
They said that the heat index was 138 degrees Fahrenheit, almost 60 degrees Celsius. 1,000 people fainted. I mean, that's sick.
Yeah, I mean, you can see her even singing, like drenched, beet red, drenched in sweat, trying to catch her breath, calling for security and people to help people in the crowd that she could see that needed water.
Yeah,
she's always very good about keeping an eye on the crowd, and to think like you're able to have that like on your radar while also performing and singing a very like elaborate show is really impressive. But it shows too, like, you got to, because if you don't and something happens on your watch, I mean, you're the one that's going to be criticized at the end of the day.
Yeah, the one time you look away, something like this happens. But there's that famous edit where the security guard was grabbing a fan and it's in the middle of Bad Blood. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, it used to be, she didn't do anything wrong. Stop it. Bad Blood. It used to be, stop it. Let her go. Mad Love. You're right though. Cause she listens to that tick track in her head. Mm-hmm. It's not even the real song. So you're having to like calculate where you are. But this, the whole situation, I think, was the promoter's fault. They wouldn't let anybody bring their own water in. It was like $8 a bottle for water. They said it was security concerns, but I imagine it's because much like any venue, you want to sell water.
Well, yeah, I can't think of any place that I've been where I've been allowed to bring in my own water.
Some places will let you bring it in if it's sealed in a water bottle. Like if it's sealed in the package, you know, you can prove that it's sealed, just like sports games. Oftentimes it's outdoor stuff. The venue later on and the promoter later on said, we are reversing this policy. We'll let people bring water in. I think it's because local politicians were like, you have to. This is a human life concern, not just safety, because they might chuck a water bottle on stage.
Well, they should apply that to everyone, because I can't think of one concert I've been to that I was allowed to take in bottled water. But it is a necessity, and they do charge an arm and a leg for it. So it would be great if you could take your own in. Taylor addressed the tragedy in a heartfelt statement on her social media platforms, expressing her devastation over the loss, writing,
"It's unbearable to think about what happened. I feel overwhelmed with grief and so deeply sorry for Anna's family and friends. No one should ever feel unsafe or unwell at one of my shows." You know, she reached out to the family and invited them to the concert, you know, 9 days later. So there is a photo of, you know, her with the family. They all have shirts with Anna's face on it. You know, people were kind of saying, I can't believe the family went. And other people said, you know, if she was a huge fan, you might want to go feel close to the your loved one that you lost, you know, at a place that would have been important to her. And, you know, Taylor helped them with like some financial costs related to bringing the body home and things like that. But it's, what can you do? You know, you just feel like at fault partially.
I think you offer it and it's up to the family to decide how they feel, if they want to go or if they'd rather not. But hopefully they went and felt closer to Anna and were able to enjoy the show some, because it is a bittersweet. I mean, 9 days after that is pretty quick. The incident sparked widespread discussions about venue safety, crowd management, and preparedness during large-scale events, emphasizing the need for stricter measures to prevent similar tragedies in the future. Fans and the public rallied in support of Anna's family, with many also commending Taylor's compassionate response. As the tour continued to sell out stadiums across the globe, fans that were unable to attend the pricey concert retreated to a front-row view. On October 13th, 2023, the Taylor Swift The Eras Tour concert film was released in theaters. Directed by Sam Rinch, the film showcased performances from the tour's six-night run at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California, in August of 2023. The film was designed to bring the live concert experience to fans worldwide who may not have been able to attend in person, and captured the magic and scale of the record-breaking stadium tour. The Taylor Swift The Eras Tour concert film achieved unprecedented success, becoming the highest-grossing concert film by earning an estimated $92.8 million globally during its opening weekend, surpassing the previous record holder, Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. Even before its release, the film shattered pre-sales records, with AMC theaters reporting an impressive $26 million in advance ticket sales in the U.S. The film's release transcended the traditional movie experience, evolving into a global cultural phenomenon. Fans dressed up in Swift-themed outfits, sang along during screenings, and shared their experiences on social media, further solidifying the film's status as more than just a concert film. Became a celebration of Taylor's music and the unique bond she shares with her audience.
And the audience shares with each other a lot of pictures and videos of sing-alongs and people exchanging friendship bracelets in the movie theater, making new friends. And she also made her own deal and owns the concert film. She went around the traditional studio system and said, I'm going to make this myself and I'm going to make a deal directly with AMC and directly with Disney to distribute this without, you know, cutting out a middleman.
Kind of, you know, it was a revenge is a dish best served cold. And it took a minute, but she beat out Justin Bieber, who earlier put her on blast. So also Never Say Never. Also great concert film. Just got to say. Yeah. But, you know, it's always a sweet feeling, satisfaction when you're like, well, who, what were you saying again? Who's laughing now?
Yeah. Who did I dethrone? Oh, mm-hmm. That's right. What up, Justin Bieber? Yeah. Or whatever it said, Justin Bieber, what up?
Amidst a successful film and tour, threats to Taylor's safety once again reared its ugly head. In January of 2024, David Crowe, a 33-year-old man from Seattle, was arrested multiple times outside her Manhattan residence. Initially detained on January 20th for attempting to enter her Tribeca townhouse, Crowe faced charges including stalking and harassment. Despite a court-issued protective order mandating him to stay away from Taylor's property, he was apprehended again on January 22nd and January 24th near the same location. Following his third arrest, Crowe was arraigned on a misdemeanor charge of second-degree criminal contempt and ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. The court denied bail, citing his repeated violations of the protective order.
I mean, you can Yeah, right. You can be a billionaire and you're still suffering the same things as women all across the world who are stalked, which is I went to court. I got the court order and he walked right through it and came back again.
Yeah.
And again.
And again.
Right.
That same month, sexually explicit and violent AI generated deepfake images falsely depicting Taylor were disseminated across platforms like 4chan and X, formerly Twitter, with one post amassing over 47 million views before being removed. These non-consensual images depicted Taylor in various states of undress, Kansas City Chiefs gear on, engaging in sexual acts and being groped by men in the Chiefs stadium.
A victim's right lawyer said that she said to one newspaper that it was some of the most violent deep faking that her firm had seen in the past 10 years because it depicted her Taylor being groped at a football game, which is a male-dominated space. You know, it's like compounding and exponentially compounding this violence. And that's really what AI deepfakes are. And Taylor Swift, for everything that is offensive to her, the primary victims are teenagers. This is becoming a huge problem across the country of teenagers having deepfake nudes made about them by other teenagers, and there not being any laws against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole new level of revenge porn.
Yeah,
sending, you know, if somebody sends you a nude, blasting it out on your social media, now you don't even have to send a nude. Someone can just make one up about you.
Yeah, there's a whole, I learned from this, there's apparently a program that you put a regular photo of a celebrity or a regular photo of anybody that's full body, And it's like a nudify button. Mm-mm. It's like undress button. And
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too. It should be banned.
This is why children are not going to know the internet. It's we're going off the grid.
What I want is for AI to take over and for people to go like, I want you to make an AI image of Taylor Swift with her clothes ripped off being groped. And then I want you to make me that image. And then AI goes, okay, I'm making the image and sending it to your mom, your sister, your grandmother, your best friend, your boss at work, and telling him this is what you do in your free time. Like, that's okay. You want to be a nasty fuck. You have to suffer the consequences of it. And everyone in your life now knows that you're a disgusting pervert.
There was a very impactful Black Mirror episode that kind of touches on that I was just thinking about the other day.
Just wait. It's going to be real.
Well, if so, a lot less people are going to be doing this because it got released to all of, I mean, just go. I think it's in the most recent season. Okay, I can't remember what it's called, but something about the woods, maybe. Mm. I don't remember, but it's quite harrowing, but that's what needs to maybe happen to prevent stuff like this happening. And, you know, all the stuff we can extrapolate from that involving kids.
Yeah, that is also a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The fake images originating from online communities working to circumvent content filters prompted widespread condemnation from advocacy groups, political figures, and industry leaders. A source close to Taylor indicated she was considering legal action, labeling the images as
abusive, offensive, exploitive, and done without Taylor's consent and/or knowledge.
6 months later, in July of 2024, the Defiance Act, the bipartisan bill granting deepfake victims the right to seek civil justice, unanimously passed the Senate. The law must now move through the House and be signed by the president to become law. Several states have introduced or passed bills of their own addressing deepfake pornography. However, a majority do not have laws on the books, leaving victims with little recourse.
And there are also currently no federal laws addressing deepfake pornography. So it really is, it happens to her on a large scale 47 million times. And as bad as that feels for you as a celebrity, you're also a celebrity. Like in 2013, yeah. A website published topless photos of her, which were photoshopped versus AI, but it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It sucks. It is an invasion of your privacy. You feel gross, but you're also a public figure. But understanding that that's how absolutely powerless you are as a billionaire public figure. So obviously we need laws, because when you're a 12-year-old in seventh grade and this is happening to you, you need to be able to do something to stop it.
Yeah. And currently there's really nothing, but mm-mm. I think I'm hoping that, like a lot of things, the law just hasn't caught up to the technology yet. Mm-hmm. And this is a big one. I think it would be a big win if this got passed because, yes, like you said, imagine how it affects celebrities. But then mm-hmm. I think imagine how it affects minors, you know, and just another form of online bullying. And the internet is already a dangerous place for kids. And this is like a whole new level of hell.
Yeah, it's to me that it's the compassion that extends beyond Taylor Swift. So, oh, she, poor little rich girl, who cares? First of all, have some empathy for any human being. But second of all, you have to extrapolate, she's not the only one this is happening to. And it's not that bad for her because she is a poor little rich girl. So think about who needs that help. And I'm glad that it seems like there's solid bipartisan support for this. As like you said, we need it because it's a huge gap.
I think, though, when it happens to someone as huge as her, it is like a glaring example of, mm-hmm. okay, and she can't even do anything about it. So now imagine anyone else, because she's the most famous and rich person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If it can happen to her, anybody is at risk. And then I think, like you said, there's a good argument for both sides of the aisle to get this through.
For sure.
Much like the announcement of her album Midnights, Taylor utilized a spotlight moment to drop another bombshell. The pop icon announced her 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department, on February 4th, 2024, during her acceptance speech for Best Pop Vocal Album, the 66th Annual Grammy Awards. She revealed that she had been working on the album in secret through 2022 and 2023. Released on April 19th, 2024, the album featured 16 tracks exploring themes of love, loss, and personal growth. To promote it, Taylor employed a creative marketing strategy, including exclusive physical editions, Target vinyl partnerships, curated playlists on Apple Music, pop-up events, and QR code murals worldwide. Fans engaged with digital Easter eggs and countdowns leading up to the release.
Oh, so many countdowns.
Oh, my
gosh. The thumb is on the cup at this level. That means this.
The elevator is set to this. And then when she gets off and the watch is at this, she is known for liking to put Easter eggs and, you know, little riddles and stuff. I think a lot of it is fans looking into stuff where there's really nothing. But it creates another sense of like camaraderie amongst the fan and the fandom and everything, stuff for people to talk about. And if you're her, just a whole lot of free marketing of people posting and reposting and TikToks of, I have seen Pepe Silva level breakdowns of like what all of her albums mean, how everything's connected. Here's this. She wore green. That means Reputation is going to be dropped soon. I mean, it really is like a global phenomenon that I can't think of any other artists that maybe the Beatles way back when, like Abbey Road, like Paul's not wearing shoes. That means he's really dead. Like little things like that. You've heard of it before, but never as big as when she came along.
No, yeah. And especially that it expands like the visual as well as the album. I've recently seen, and I'm not as familiar, but I am extremely impressed by what I've seen, similar Easter eggs and the visual connection to lyrics in the album, and then a double meaning of lyrics from Kendrick Lamar, especially in the wake of kind of the Kendrick Drake feud. I mean, he is like a brilliant lyricist, a brilliant artist, guested on the Vault track for 1989 on Bad Blood. If you haven't, we forgive, we forget, but we never let go. If you haven't heard that, it's so good. But that type of where it causes you to watch the music video like 20 times because you just want to like write down what that might mean and what that shirt that she's wearing in this was the same one she wore like six videos ago, like that type of stuff. It really gets you. I've spent hours on TikTok.
I will watch all the TikToks. I've never tried to put it together myself. No. I just want to see somebody's recap of it.
I'm the same way.
Following the album's debut, Taylor incorporated its song into her Eras tour, introducing a new act informally described as
Female Rage, the musical,
which premiered in Paris on May 9th, 2024. The album received critical acclaim for its depth and innovation.
Yeah, it's a great record and a great era on the tour.
And to add in, you're like a year into this tour, and in a matter of months, you're like, we're going to add a whole new era in. Yeah. Everyone's going to learn new choreography. The set, I mean, and it really is a standalone era. If you see the show, they all have got their own vibe and, you know, colors and stuff. And the like stark, clean black and white that was associated with kind of the album, this clinical feeling of being in like a mental institution of sorts, to tour that period is impressive. To add it into an already insane show. And be those dancers and everybody that contributed to that. I mean, that's something else. But that's also why this tour will go down as the biggest tour in the history of tours.
It really was. We were very blessed to have gone in August 2023 when in Los Angeles when she was filming for the film. And then when Tortured Poets came out, and then we started watching the TikTok live streams. And that's the other thing that the Eras Tour brought millions and millions of people together on these digital spaces, either on YouTube or on TikTok, where you're someone at the show, live streams the show. And she leaned into that, like created an online game where if you're like essentially playing at home, you choose like she might wear this shoe color or this shirt color, or this dress color, or whatever. But that kind of connection, you and I are watching it going, well, we've already seen it. And then you bring a big ass bed on stage. Nah. And by big ass, I mean, like she looks like she got Honey, I Shrunk the Kids down. It's a huge bed. And we're like, man, we got to see that.
The smallest man who ever lived. I could not see her storm down the stage in that dope ass jacket and dress. I just couldn't not. I had to see it.
That's me. I went there in my head just now. Wait, yeah, sent by someone. It's so really good. I got chills. It really does.
And the drums and everything. I mean, yeah. It's the whole show from start to finish is a show. Yes. There's never, from the second the clock starts, there's not a moment where anybody lets their guard down. I mean, there's moments where she addresses the audience and speaks, but Levity, having seen it like twice, she pretty much says the same thing each time. She might mix it up here and there, but that all to show that it's like a show. She's not going, it's not like improvised. Everything is very tight because it's also 3 hours. So you can't just like start going off on a rant because next thing you know, you just fuck the time up and everything. But it's she never drops the energy for a second. The dancers, nobody. It's a show from start to finish.
Yeah, and the dancers were phenomenal. And they, fact, kind of each individually, especially Cam Saunders, this, I mean, he's just so charismatic, a phenomenal dancer.
I love him so
just
much.
Sweet face. I just love him so much. So things like that were. She's allowed the live stream with the phone. And by doing that, it created additional intimacy. So you and I went to the Toronto show. We streamed on our, I'm going to take credit because my shoulder still hurts.
I streamed for 3 hours. I said at the top, I said, I just want you to know, I'm not going to be holding the phone.
No,
if you want to do it, I applaud you. I will give you drinks. I can't be holding that phone.
I have my phone up like way in the air. And then Christy would just come in with water. And I'd be like,
like a boxer on the side.
Yeah, but thank you to everybody that joined our stream. And maybe I need to pull some clips from it. TikTok let me download it. So I do have some of the memories. Yeah. We were at the mercy of basically the cell phone signal that was in there. But it was still pretty good despite everything. Despite, I mean, 3 hours of a stream on TikTok. I think we were, with blips and glitches, it was like about 2.5 hours we ended up like being live for. But that's still a lot. And the whole time there were people on there commenting and people we didn't know, some listeners and stuff. And it really felt like a fun community and like people were commenting on what was happening. I loved it. It was fun.
The moment where she runs right up to us and nearly looks right in the camera during August one of the highlights of my life, and everyone in the chat who was like, holy shit,
my God,
we would have never been able to see this. She's like talking right to us. But because she did allow people to stream, so many people did echo that sentiment of like, we couldn't get tickets. We can't afford these tickets. We couldn't go. And now I get to feel like I've seen it. Mm-hmm. It was, we would get together and, you know, several nights a week to watch like Tess on TikTok.
Yeah, Tess Deer.
Did all the hard work in figuring out how to utilize multiple streams so people watching for free could get the best quality, always having like a charity for Swiftie to donate to. They made so much money doing that. But seeing everyone in the comments and just, it was like a community in and of itself. There's a concert going community and then like the online streaming community. And as the tour started to wind down, everyone was like, I'm really going to miss this. Myself included. I was like, I can't imagine like not seeing All Too Well again.
Yes. Like this felt like something. Like I felt like we were there together. And honestly, I think that's why
something. I don't think it felt like that. I think it really was something.
You're right. I think it like a cultural phenomenon, like a moment we were all there. And I agree. Like after seeing it, I got to see it in Dallas in like the very first one, the second weekend after Glendale. And then
you saw one of the very first early on performances.
I did. I saw the famous where she sang Death by a Thousand Cuts and she also messed up while she was singing and like said, oh, I have to sing it again. Cause back then she's like, I'm only going to sing each surprise song. She would do two acoustic sets. But I think you and I both, after we saw the Los Angeles show and then we would go home, which we, you know, we watched a few of the streams and then we went to the show. Well, then we really started watching the streams and like felt this sense of like gratitude and love for the community. And we're like, well, we could pay it back. Like, we have a platform, we could stream, like, let's bring all these people with us. So it felt fun to like be, now I get to give it back, because I've been watching a million different people's streams appreciatively and never complaining for them singing, because it's their ticket that they bought.
Hey, move over, stand up, stop singing. I'm like, you paid upwards of $5,000 to attend this concert. You can do whatever you want. The fact that you're even having your phone out is a very nice thing to do. I took like a couple of pictures and videos, but if I'm just like holding my phone, it takes me out of it. So yeah, I was like, I got to just be present for this, especially given it was all the way in Toronto. It was a long trip to get there.
It was indeed. No, I'm very good at multitasking. And I felt like Jerry Seinfeld when he's doing Cry Cry Again, where I was like changing angles. I was zooming in. Someone's like, this is the best feed. And I was like, I knew that that was going to be the only pictures and video I got. So selfishly, I was just trying to get good footage.
Well, you got great ones.
But everybody got to benefit. But yeah, we'll post some of those clips on our TikTok and stuff, because that was, man, it was a never forget kind of a moment. So thanks for everybody for being
that
there.
That August one especially.
Yeah.
Oof. In August of 2024, Austrian authorities thwarted a terrorist plot targeting the Eras Tour stops at Vienna's Ernst Happel Stadion. Three male suspects, aged 17 to 19, were arrested for planning a mass casualty attack involving suicide bombings, mass shootings, and vehicle ramming, aiming to harm concert attendees and bystanders. The suspects were radicalized online with connections to the Islamic State. They possessed explosive chemicals, bladed weapons, counterfeit money, and a vehicle equipped with a police siren intended for the attack. The Austrian Federal Police, in collaboration with Echo Cobra, U.S. intelligence community, and Europol, conducted the investigation leading to the arrests. This was so sad. The TikToks and everything that came out of just the fans flooding the streets in Vienna, singing the songs together, and like, they all lost. I mean, they probably got their money back, but they lost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the show. And so the community coming together like that and still having a celebration of sorts, even though it looked way different than they thought it would be, was really heartening to see, because this was fucked up. The details of what these people were trying to do, the details weren't released at the time. Mm-mm. No one really realized like how bad it was going to be if it had gone through.
And I think it was not a threat. It was, we found that there were active plans that had been, you know, laid out of when, where, what we're going to do. It's more than just like somebody sent a message on an app and got flagged or whatever. It was, we have concrete ideas and objects have been acquired to fulfill this plan. But you're right. I thought it was such a beautiful show of the community of people saying like, Vienna Swifties, if you were supposed to go to Vienna, like, let's help you get tickets somewhere else, or let me send you merch. Like, does anybody need me to mail them a shirt or whatever? You know, do you want friendship bracelets sent to you? So it was a big, both on the ground in Vienna and then like the virtual fans as well, trying to go like, let's make a connection somehow. Like, we want to make this up to you, but it's always better to cancel versus, you know, risk it.
Yeah. It's also a reminder of like, shit's going on in the background and people are stopping stuff in the background all the time. Yeah. And a lot of times we don't hear about it because we don't need to. They're like, we stopped it, so let's not freak everybody out. Right. But when it's something like this where you're like, well, we got to cancel three shows and hundreds of thousands of people are now without their tickets, you kind of have to give a reason for it.
Yeah. And it's a big reason.
Yeah. As a result, the scheduled Vienna Eras concerts were canceled, a decision supported by both Taylor and the Austrian chancellor. Taylor did not speak about the incident right away, a decision that initially drew criticism. In a statement on social media, she addressed both the canceled concerts as well as the timing of her statement, writing,
"Having our Vienna shows canceled was devastating. The reason for the cancellations filled me with a new sense of fear and a tremendous amount of guilt, because so many people had planned on coming to those shows. But I was also so grateful to the authorities, because thanks to them, we were grieving concerts and not lives."
She added,
"Let me be very clear. I am not going to speak about something publicly if I think doing so might provoke those who would want to harm the fans who come to my shows."
She makes a good point.
She does. And I think here, the not speaking out was before it was revealed that it was Islamic State actors, that it was like, you know, these people are tied to a serious worldwide terror organization.
Yeah.
And she still had concerts upcoming in the UK that perhaps they had not secured. So oftentimes, if there is an expert like Europol, the Austrian Federal Police going, it would be best if you didn't say anything at this time. But you have, I don't know, people that hate you on the internet being like, what a bitch, she won't even say anything. I'm going to listen to the terrorism experts mm-hmm. who tell me that this course of action will promote the safety of my fans. And I would then ignore, shake off, as she says, the haters. But it was very ridiculous to me to be like, why didn't she say something right away? I'm like, I don't know, because she's like not in the CIA or whatever. And she like doesn't know what's happening with these people.
People just like to criticize people, especially her.
Yeah.
You know, if she had spoken right away, there would have been people saying she shouldn't have spoken.
Yeah.
Now she's going to indict. I mean,
yeah.
There's, you're never going to please everybody, but I think the line of we're grieving concerts and not lives is pretty impactful that, yes, it's a great concert and people, I mean, went above and beyond to try and attend it. But at the end of the day, our lives are all worth way more.
No, oh, absolutely. And especially if you have a credible, concrete threat, you've got to shut it down. Yeah. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
The Eras Tour has had a profound economic impact, contributing nearly $6 billion to the U.S. economy during its run. Financial experts attribute this surge to increased spending on travel, accommodation, dining, and local attractions by concertgoers, with fans reportedly spending an average of $1,300 per show.
Plus, you think of like Etsy sellers, small businesses that make, you know, hats, tumblers, stickers, friendship bracelets, the beads for friendship, but whatever. It really, it is a ripple effect outward.
Yeah. And in like the Buenos Aires shows, they allowed like independent vendors from there to come and sell stuff, like basically an open air Etsy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there you're getting merch, so like you can't get anywhere else, but they, in a lot of people are going to let you do that outside their concert. They want you to buy their merch, but she allowed it. Taylor showed great generosity toward her tour personnel, distributing bonuses totaling $197 million to dancers, technicians, and musicians. The 50 truck drivers each received a handwritten note from the pop star, along with $100,000, an amount the trucking company owner called life-changing. Additionally, she made discreet donations to food banks in each city she visited, providing anywhere from 30,000 to 75,000 meals and encouraging small-dollar follow-on donations from supporters.
Yeah, she didn't announce any of the donations. She didn't announce any of these bonuses. They all got announced by the people receiving them. And in every single article, it'll say, like, Taylor's representatives declined to comment. Like, they don't comment on it. They don't come out and go, well, it's the least we could do. It's just like every one of these food banks, if you read the articles from local media, will be like, literally the day before the concert, I just answered the phone and someone was like, hello, I work for Taylor Swift and I want to donate a certain amount of money here. And we just asked, you're welcome to tell people we donated. Please just don't tell them the amounts. We don't want to publicize this. But every time that these food banks would post this, they said they always saw a surge increase, oftentimes from Swifties who would say, oh, let's send them $13. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the Taylor Swift number. So it's one of those where she is not only feeding large amounts of people, but then it's just that, well, she's rich. She should give away her money. Good. She does all the time. But also when these things become public, it does create kind of a tag along effect.
Yeah,
people
want
to help
for sure.
too.
She did the same for animal shelters in a ton of the places she visited too. The truth aside, celebrities often attract some strange tales and conspiracy theories. One of the oldest surrounding Taylor is that she is the clone of Zena LaVey, the daughter of Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan. This theory hinges on the striking resemblance between Taylor and Zena in her younger years. Believers suggest that the Illuminati cloned Zena to create Taylor, aiming to use her influence to subtly promote satanic imagery through pop music. Despite the lack of credible evidence, this theory has gained traction online, numerous side-by-side photo comparisons fueling the speculation.
When Zena LaVey was younger, they did look similar, and Zena LaVey was into music as well. I think they're both alive right now, but I think that doesn't matter if they're clones. Because some people said, oh, it's her, but then she's aged in reverse, or it's some, like, I don't know. But then the new thing is, oh, no, she's actually just a clone of her. I think Andrea and Scott would be like, wait a second.
Yeah. I remember that's not how that went down.
That's not the way it happened.
Taylor's well-known affinity for the number 13 has sparked theories that it holds deeper occult significance. She has referred to 13 as her lucky number, often incorporating it into her performances and merchandise. However, some conspiracy enthusiasts argue that the number is associated with the Illuminati or other secret societies, suggesting that Taylor's use of it indicates hidden allegiances. They point to her frequent Easter eggs and symbolic references in music videos as evidence of occult messaging or her involvement in the dark arts.
I love those too, where it's like, I watched the music video for Look What You Made Me Do, and I saw this in it. And I'm like, go on TikTok, find a Swiftie. 2 minutes later, you're going to understand that's actually from like 3 albums ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do with the devil. It's like an internal reference.
Yeah.
She's
Lady
a witch.
Gaga, Beyonce, Taylor. Yeah. I mean, this has been said about, I think, pretty much every pop star celebrity that does really well. Well, it all must be because of the Dark Lord. They made a deal with the devil long ago.
You're right. Like, there's a professor named David Hahn, and in the Skeptical Inquirer, he wrote about some of these conspiracies. And I thought it was a really good point that conspiracy theories, he said, are not about the thing that they claim to be about. Like, the facts of the conspiracy theory is rarely about the topic. Mostly the conspiracy theory shows you what the propagator of that theory actually feels about the underlying person. So you're right. With women, powerful, successful women, it's like, well, she's obviously a witch that used Satan to do that. And you're like, well, first of all, don't besmirch the good name of witches. And second of all, just because someone works really hard and is talented and is powerful, it doesn't mean that Lady Gaga is secretly like some Illuminati plant or whatever.
No. In early 2024, a conspiracy theory emerged claiming that Taylor Swift is a psychological operation, or PSYOP, orchestrated by the CIA to influence public opinion and political outcomes. This notion gained attention after Fox News host Jesse Waters referenced an out-of-context clip from a NATO intelligence meeting where Taylor was mentioned as an example of influential public figures. Conspiracy theorists latched onto this, alleging that her massive popularity is a deliberate tool for mass manipulation. Despite the absurdity of the claim, a Monmouth University poll found that 32% of Republicans believe Taylor could be a CIA psyop, highlighting the pervasive nature of such theories.
Jesse Waters is one of the biggest jackasses on TV right now, and you can quote me on that. And stuff like this has a effect on the public. Like, what he did was take an out of context quote going, you know, a lot of times they're big influential figures. For instance, Taylor Swift, and go, look at that. They said that they were using her as a psyop. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, that's so many of the TikToks or anything. It's out of context things or things clipped together. It's like, look, she's been a witch her whole life. And it's like, these clips weren't even what you're saying happened in this clip. This is from like a clip 3 years ago. You're just making up and creating a narrative that didn't exist. Like, look how she looked at Selena Gomez during this awards ceremony. You're like, the look she just gave was clipped in from another awards ceremony where Selena wasn't even at. But people just it just, people believe what they want to believe, and people love to paint successful women in a negative light.
Oh, certainly. And especially now with the proliferation of deepfakes and AI and stuff, I only think it's going to get worse. It'll be like, well, I saw a TikTok where Taylor Swift said blah, blah, blah on the Jimmy Fallon show or whatever. And you're like, well, unless you go to YouTube, find, if it's posted by the Jimmy Fallon show, certainly. But if not, you have to actually go and track this down. Mm-hmm. And you can't believe just because you saw what looks like her sitting on a couch saying a thing, that's not real. And like, we have to explain to all of our family members of all ages, that's not real.
Yeah. I mean, and up and coming people to use the internet too. It's not just
young
like
and older
people. Yeah. all the time I'm like, is this real? Is this a real picture? Did this really happen?
It's exhausting. I have to go search and find three credible sources before I believe anything.
It makes you feel like you're being gaslit too. I'm like,
I'm too tired.
So this didn't really happen?
Yes. I'm like, well, damn it.
With a career now spanning two decades and no signs of slowing down, pop culture phenomenon that is Taylor Swift marches onward fearless. She has proven time and again that she is the mastermind behind her own success. Her influence isn't just enchanted. It's the kind of impact that has gained her a worldwide reputation. The economic, legal, and cultural ripples of her actions will be felt for decades to come. A love story between one artist and the world that just won't go out of style. A responsibility she seems to understand all too well as she continues to shake it off and lead with her signature red-hot passion. For now, we watch as she looks forward at her current blank space, ready to write the next chapter. So what do we think?
Oh, well, I'm glad we did this because I feel like I learned a lot about a person who I already liked, but all of these kind of like the lawsuits, the different ways that she handles stuff, it gives you, I think, a larger perspective into the underlying art as well, that you're like, this is even more passionately written or even more passionately sung given this underlying struggle between, you know, this person who's basically tried to shit on you or take credit for your popularity, and you hear that passion coming through. So I like having some context to my music. I like a good story. You know me, a story behind the song.
Yeah, it's also incredible to see how much stuff was going on, like personal turmoil, and how much art she was still cranking out. And instead of letting it drag her down, she was fueled by like, I'll be in isolation because you ripped the Moon Man from my hand, but I'm going to write all these dope ass songs. I'm going to re-record this and I'm going to go to court for this just for a dollar. She's not just a fantastic musical artist. She's a humanitarian
who has
helped so many, and her efforts will continue to help many even long after she's gone.
Yeah. And it's one of those where I don't think we can even know the extent to which of the stuff that she does, you know, just because there's not a public statement about a donation she's made or a charitable thing she's done or whatever. Time and again, it shows, you know, random people will then start posting on social media, oh, she came to the children's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's never going to be on the news because she didn't go tell the news, I'm going to be at the children's hospital at this date and this time. She just shows up at the children's hospital and takes pictures and waits for people's families to get up there that want to meet her and stuff like that. And we only later find out, you know, by social media, people posting or whatever. So I always am like, there's more here than I know, because like with the Vienna terror plot, sometimes things just can't come out. And just enjoying the music in the meantime. But you're right. I think the respect and appreciation for somebody who's got the body of work that she has. And I think she's taken the Carrie Fisher's great advice to all of us, which is take your broken heart and make it into art. You know, there's always going to be crimes, controversies, and, you know, conspiracies and whatever. But at the end of it, if you are an artist, you chop wood, carry water, right? Put your head down, go back to the studio, back to the drawing pad.
You get on top of it and get out in front of it and take back the narrative, rewrite it yourself, or then re-record it.
Hey, re-record the narrative yourself, and then you're going home with that guy on the winning team. Karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me. So
good for you for landing the hottest person you've ever dated by a mile.
Like, I think you and I are both the same, where it's like, we finally like locked it down with the hunk after a string of douchebags and losers. And I'm happy for her. I feel like she's finally locking it down with the hunk.
I hope this is it for her.
I'm happy for Taylor that she has found her brown town. And I hope that it is many happy years.
I'm happy for Travis too.
He shot
his shot, man.
Dude,
and boy, howdy, did it work out for him.
Yeah, always go for it. You know, don't let them, what do they say? Don't say no for them. Like, right? You might as well ask.
There you go. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of segments like Am I the Asshole, Judge Christie, Heather Saves, Dear Sinister, and like a million more.
Yeah, we have a True Crime Headlines coming up that we just recorded that's got some updates on prior cases that, you know, they just keep coming. I could almost do a True Crime Headlines every week, but we like to mix it up with all the other bonus content segments. We have free trials. If you don't know what any of those are, join for free for a week. Check out all the perks, and you can cancel anytime without getting charged if you cancel before the trial's over. But you can binge listen to whatever and just see if it's for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have a mini-sode that's about to drop about Hannah Kobayashi, which I know a lot of people are following. Mm-hmm. In addition, that's kind of another True Crime Headlines. Mm-hmm. In the most recent one, we did a Corey Richens update. We had an update on the Slender Man attack from many years ago and some Gypsy Rose Blanchard updates too.
A little Murdoch as well for you.
And so Murdoch, yeah.
You get all of that and more when you donate, including ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, a quarterly lab bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, those monthly mini-sodes Christy mentioned, merch discounts, and a community. The best listeners on the whole internet. We're not quite Swifties, but it's close there with that community.
Oh, 100%. For recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show, and make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
Head over to Sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And don't forget, from now through the foreseeable future, we are donating the proceeds and matching 100% of the profits of our merch to California Wildlife Relief charities and nonprofits. So head over to Sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to participate.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We love 5 stars, just like Taylor. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes on YouTube and ad-free on Patreon. And watch us while you can on TikTok. Write to your senators and congresspeople and tell them to keep this app that has helped so many. And if you would like a custom video shout out of us saying happy birthday, happy anniversary, advice, a pep talk, whatever, head over to cameo.com/sinisterhood and book your cameo now. And as long as Cameo will let us, the donations of those, the profits of those will go to the California Community Foundation. Christy, where are you at online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Stephanie.
Jessica Conaway.
The Litter Boss.
Rebecca H.J.
Laura.
Sam.
Michelle McGuire.
Ryan Blankenship.
Mandy.
And Limitless Paper. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you all. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. We love you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Mwahahaha.
Sinister.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.